You're listening to the Become Stronger podcast. In this episode, me and my guest Lizzie are going to talk about why some people struggle so hard to obtain their dream body and make the necessary changes no matter what they are doing. And as you're going to discover, this is not only a matter of following the right diets and exercise strategies, but more about knowing your own worth and working from a place of self-love. So if you want to learn how to get your dream body and feel amazing in it, even if all the diets previously failed, keep listening. All right. Welcome, strong people. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. I am so excited for you to have you here because this is going to be an amazing episode because today we are going to be talking about diets, why they work for some, why they don't work for others, and how you can still get your dream bodies if classical diets won't work for you. And for this topic, I got a special guest for you guys. And today's guest is Lizzie. Hey there.
Hey. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you for taking your time today. So I've already mentioned the topics for today's podcast, and as always when I have guests on my podcast, I would like you to introduce yourself. Who are you? How are you? Or yeah, why am I talking about this topic together with you? And yeah, what you're doing.
Yeah. So, hi everybody. My name is Lizzie and, I am based in Los Angeles, but as you can tell from my accent, I am from the UK and people know me as their self-love sister. So I am super passionate about helping women, empowering women to ditch the diets, silence their inner mean girl and confidently step into the body that they love. And really this passion, it's a very, very deep passion. And it comes from, like many people who work in health and wellness, my own journey. So I went through probably about a 20-year journey of achieving unconditional love for my body. All began when I was 14 years old, and my granddad suddenly died of a heart attack. And in my naivety, I thought that the cake that I had made him a couple of days before had caused this. And as a result, I didn't trust myself with food. And you may be able to see where this is going. But it essentially led to me seeking out advice from magazines. It was primarily magazines at that point. And really getting some terrible, terrible advice, but taking it on. And that led to a full-blown eating disorder. And that lasted probably about 10 years in total. And it's something that I now used as the driving force for what I do. And in the process, I retrained. I was originally a teacher. I retrained as a nutritionist, got a master's in nutrition, and then went on to study fitness instruction. And now I incorporate both of those things in addition to mindset to really help women avoid all of the pain, the frustration, and the confusion out there when it comes to food, dieting, and loving your body. So I kind of go into it in a lot more detail. I've just written and published my book, Reclaim the Rebel. I kind of share a bit more about my story, but that kind of gives you an idea of really where I come from and what I stand for.
Wow, that's incredible. And I, like, honestly, it's as shocking as it may sound, it doesn't really surprise me that you have been dealing with something like that, because for me, just from my experience of knowing this, the fitness industry, and also working together with female clients, It's crazy how many women really struggle with the relationship with food and also with their body. Not only women, men also, but especially women. And it's pretty mind blowing, because even if you have if you have higher level athletes, female athletes, and they're still dealing with things like that. So it's not just a matter for, let's say, women who might be thinking about getting in shape, but it's really on a very broad spectrum. And you mentioned that you've been dealing with 10 years of this, and that you got some terrible advice in a magazine. And something I'm pretty curious about, where do you think the industry misleads people, especially women, when it comes to food, fitness, dieting?
Yeah, I mean, great question. And I just want to acknowledge the great point that you make in terms of disordered eating patterns. It doesn't have to be a full-blown eating disorder. I think that's one end of the spectrum, but I see a lot of disordered eating. So for example, cutting out food groups, restricting calories, you know, having some kind of distorted relationship with food, where you're kind of trying to control your food intake. That is so common. I see it across the board, like you, with female athletes, moms who have just had their baby, younger, older, it doesn't matter. It's a very, very widespread thing. And I love how you acknowledge it's something that happens with men also. But as a female, I can only speak from female experience. But what I think it all comes down to, nobody is immune from it, because the diet industry is so, so powerful and so prominent. And what they do is they are so clever, and they say, kind of this subliminal. It's a subliminal message. There you go. I can talk now. That we are not good enough. So in some respect, we're not healthy enough. We're not slim enough. We're not, you fill in the blank. And when you buy their product, guess what? You will then be good enough, because then their product will provide that for you. And this is complete BS. Right? You and I both know this,
yeah.
But it's a very easy thing to believe when we are bombarded with unrealistic beauty standards that also are changing. So the ideal standard for women's bodies in the 50s is very different to today, and it's constantly changing. So not only is that very, very confusing, but the whole thread is that your body doesn't look like this, you're not good enough, take our pill, buy our product, follow our program, and when you do that, then you'll get this unrealistic beauty standard. And only by continuing to buy into our product or program or whatever will you be able to maintain that. And how unrealistic is that? When the goalposts are constantly changing, and when you have to be stuck in this system, it's almost kind of like the Matrix, where we're kind of stuck in this dieting mindset and constantly trying to fix ourselves because we don't feel good enough, right? And really what I want women and men to know is that they are good enough right now. And there may be times when you want to lose weight or eat a little bit more healthy, just because it makes you feel good. It gives you more energy. It allows you to, you know, spend more time with your kids. It gives you a longer lifespan. And I think that is a very healthy thing to want. But if you are going on a diet because you don't feel good enough, you don't feel slim enough, then that is something that can really trap you for life. And I see that so often, unfortunately.
Yeah, you, I mean, there's so much gold in there because like the first thing you said, the changing beauty standards, and I totally agree with you on that because like, especially through social media, if you look on Instagram, it looks like everyone is shredded and massive and lifts 800 pounds and it's just like the norm, you know, you could believe that. And you could also think, okay, that's, it's normal to be like this all year round because the people, they just do a photo shoot and then they take 300 pictures and then, okay, that's, you post one every day and you're good, right? You look like this all year round, and like anyone who knows, like who trains for a longer period of time, who adheres to certain eating standards when we're talking about building muscle, building strength, whatever, everyone knows that you won't be like this all year round, right? So you got this idea that if you don't look like a certain person for just like 2 or 3 days, there's something wrong with you. And I think that this is a huge problem. And I noticed from myself, because when I was like 17, 18, and I was somewhere at the beach, I was so anxious that someone would see me without having a six pack. So I would like walk around all the time, just flexing my abs, and I couldn't breathe. And it was super uncomfortable because I was just so insecure. And it is a big problem. Like, I totally agree with you on that.
Yeah. And I mean, we kind of laugh about it now. I had a similar situation where when I was a 3-month-old baby, I had to have life-saving surgery that left a scar right across my stomach. So I, as a teenager, was also super insecure about going to the beach and wearing a bikini because there was this massive scar across my stomach. And oh my goodness, people can see it. And it looks kind of like I've got an imperfection and this, that, and the other. And at the time, you know, I can look back on it now and I've kind of reframed that as my survival scar. But at the time, I'm sure you can resonate with this, it feels really uncomfortable. And as you say, you know, it's in that very anxious energy of, what if people see me? What if people judge me? I'm not fitting into this perfect standard that I must be. There must be something wrong with me. And that's a very disempowering narrative to live by every single day. But guess what? So many of us are stuck in that, you know. And I think the power that the diet industry has also feeds into the power of our own. I talked about it earlier, inner mean girl. So I believe everybody has an inner mean girl or inner critic. And it feeds off of the diet industry, and the diet industry feeds off your inner mean girl. So you've got your external world saying you're not good enough, and then your internal world saying you're not good enough. And these two are just working in tandem to make you feel like crap. Mm-hmm. And so what do we do about it? I mean, I think a lot of people get confused because they think, okay, it must be a body image issue. Must be a body image issue. But to me, the foundation is self-love. And so if we loved ourselves, we wouldn't go around thinking our stomach looked horrible and trying to pull it in and not being able to breathe. We wouldn't go on these really restricted diets. We wouldn't try to control our food to the extent that we would if we had self-love. And so I think that is really the foundation for everything. The problem though is that we see self-love or we hear self-love and instantly we go, oh, that's an Instagram hashtag. that's nice. And we don't really know how to achieve that. No one's really telling us how to get there. And probably it's because a lot of us don't really know how. For a long time, I kind of had that inkling of I probably need to increase my self-love. But I was like, but how? So really it's about, I'm about empowering people with those tools, because I felt lucky enough to finally find them. It was like, I found the treasure. Now I've got to share it, because it would be selfish if I didn't, right? But I think there is that barrier of, okay, self-love, that's nice, but maybe it's not for me. That's another common one that I come across. Like, I can accept my body, but I can't love it. I don't know if that's something that you come across with your female clients, but I know that I have come across that objection before of, well, I've gone through so much with my body, and so I can't imagine loving it, but I'll work towards accepting it. And I think, you know, that's your choice, but if you're limiting yourself in terms of just accepting your body, what are you limiting yourself in terms of the amount of joy and just experience of life? Are you really getting yourself out of that mentality of I'm not good enough? I think that's a kind of limitation, and I don't want anybody to feel that limitation. We're all born having unconditional love for our bodies. So everybody has the right to unconditional love for their bodies, but they also have the capability to have unconditional love for their bodies. And if a past anorexic for 10 years can sit here and say, I have unconditional love for my body, sure as hell, everybody can. So, I mean, it's understandable. I get it. But I think that's another limitation that we put on ourselves unnecessarily.
Yeah, and I'm so glad you brought up self-love, because it's I see just so many people who have who struggle with discipline, who struggle staying consistent, and the common narrative is like, okay, I just need to force myself through, and discipline is painful and it's hard and all of that. And my approach is, it's really just a matter about self-worth, because if you don't perceive yourself as worthy of having this body or that goal, whatever it is, if you're perceiving yourself as not worthy of having like a great romantic relationship, which used to be one way, for example, that was like something I did to myself for a very long time, then you won't be able to get there. And I feel like this is such a crucial component. And in terms of like my approach to diets is personally, I think, the theory behind it is pretty clear, the science, so it works on paper, you know. But I feel like really if you, just as you said, if you do like dieting or exercising or training, whatever, out of this notion that you need to prove your worth or something, it's going to suck. Because I, for example, because I feel like this idea of eating disorders, where do you start, right? So, for example, food used to be just a tool. Like, it would be like, okay, I just need to get my protein in, my calories, and I'm good, you know, because that's what I need to build muscle. And so, like, I would do stuff like just taking 2 tuna cans, throwing it into a blender with some water and drinking it, because it was the quickest way to get my protein in, which some of you might find a little bit disturbing to hear. But that used to be my relationship with food, you know. So it was, for me, it was, okay, it's just like a tool. And at some point, I just really noticed, damn, I just hate to eat anymore. And I was like, okay, I had to take a step back and find this balance where I can work towards my goal, how I can utilize certain strategy, because without any strategy, we won't get anywhere also. So it's in my approach is always to just combine both worlds, like the inner world you've been talking about, and of course also the strategy. Well, what changes can you due to your eating habits. Because if you want to change your body and you don't change any of your habits, you will just get the same results, right? Because habits create our results. And it's very interesting. And you also mentioned you had this, you went from being anorexic, you are now at a point where you have unconditional love for your body. And my question would really be, what allowed you to make this change? And also, how do you define unconditional self-love?
Oh, some really great questions. Okay. So I'll start with the second, because I think that can kind of give context to the first question. So second question, just to be clear, was how do I define having unconditional love for your body? Now, to me, everybody's got a very different definition, and I respect that. But to me, having unconditional love for your body is sitting in what I call the Goldilocks zone. So the Goldilocks zone is the balance between clean eating, working out every single day, you know, being perfect in terms of your mindset and never having any negative thoughts about yourself. And the opposite end, which is sitting on the couch all day, just eating cheeseburgers, and just wallowing in being a victim or, you know, woe is me. The Goldilocks zone is in the middle, where you have balance in terms of how you nourish your body, how you move your body, and how you speak to your body. So it's the recognition that some days you might have to give yourself more grace than others, even though, you know, you're in the work and you make progress in terms of how you treat your body. Some days you still might not feel your 100% best. And having unconditional love for your body, to me, is going, okay, I recognize this. I'm going to give myself some compassion here and say, this is fine. What do I need to hear today? So having unconditional love for your body is really a combination of your nutrition, movement, and your mindset, and having a balanced approach to it so that you can ultimately feel good, feel confident, feel sexy, feel energized, and do it in a very non-extreme way. So that to me is having unconditional love for your body. And so I achieved that balance, that Goldilocks zone, really through a combination of nutrition, movement, and mindset. But it really started actually by being diagnosed with having osteoporosis. So one side effect of having an eating disorder, especially for how long I had it, is that you can develop osteoporosis, which is weak bones. And that is something that comes as a result of not getting enough calcium and calories in your diet. So I had a bone scan and the diagnosis came back. I was 22 years old. Generally, osteoporosis is something that menopausal women or postmenopausal women experience. But I was 22 and I got told that I had a disease that was associated with women much older than me. And I'm very stubborn. And I got that diagnosis and it hit me like a 2x4. And I was like, I don't identify as someone with this. That's not me. I'm going to change my nutrition. I need to do this because I don't want to be in a wheelchair by the time I'm 40. So I actually started to read and learn about nutrition from reputable sources. I retrained, as I say, I was a teacher at the time, and I retrained and did my master's. So I actually got that nutrition knowledge. I started I hired a personal trainer and started lifting in the gym because that's something that can really strengthen your bones, as I'm sure many of your listeners know. And it was that combination of actually deciding that I am the person who is healthy and has a balanced approach to my nutrition. That was the key to really set in motion those behaviors. So it was kind of like the almost the identity of that's not me. This is me. This is what I want to create for myself that triggered me to go out and do those things that really helped me create that balanced approach to my nutrition and my movement. However, it was a lot of years until I was actually walking my walk when it came to my mindset. So I thought I had the nutrition dialed in. I was, you know, having a balance between, you know, foods that were healthy and foods that, you know, I enjoyed. You know, I like chocolate and I like it very much. So I will allow myself to have chocolate. I won't even allow, I'll just have it. So I stopped counting calories and doing all of those things that felt really heavy for me. You know, had a balanced approach to workouts, but my mindset was not in a good place. So that was really kind of the final piece of the puzzle. And that's when I entered a program and met you, Manuel. And I really started to work on that mindset piece, because I would also see it in my clients. I would see them come in and some of them, you know, followed my recommendations in terms of their workouts, in terms of their nutrition, and they got their results. Great. But others did not. And so I wondered why that was. And I knew it wasn't necessarily the approach that I was taking, or there was something missing from my approach. And so at the same time, I was kind of getting a little bit conscious and self-conscious about my capabilities as a nutritionist and coach, because I was like, well, I'm not good enough, because if only some of my clients are getting results, then clearly I'm not good enough. And I was also still very self-conscious about aspects of my appearance. And again, I give a story in my book about how I used to wear glasses because I hid the bags that I thought I had under my eyes. And so when I realized that this was kind of, there was something missing, and it was probably something to do with what was going up in here in the brain, that's when I kind of really looked into the mindset piece. And oh my gosh, I don't know about you, but it was a total up level and game changer for not only myself, but also my clients. And that's why I carry it so passionately into my work, is that how do you tackle that inner mean girl and not necessarily get rid of her, because she's always going to be there at some point. We're human. We always, we're going to come across moments that make us question ourselves or have fear, but how do we move through that so it doesn't hold us back? So that's really how I, in a nutshell, achieved unconditional love for my body. It was first the nutrition and the movement, and then a huge up level was in the mindset side and getting balance there.
Wow. Yeah, I can relate to that on a different level. So for it's funny because I feel like for me it was similar in terms of my transformation. Really started when I had a similar moment like you, where I was like, just well, fuck that, I'm not gonna deal with this shit anymore, you know. So for you it was the diagnosis from the doctor that you got osteoporosis with in your 20s, which is crazy. And for me it wasn't a diagnosis. For me it was just like, okay, I just can't go on like this anymore, because I felt so weak, so insecure, so pushed around, and I had so little self-worth back then. And that's what got me started to the gym. And just as like you, I also really dig into training. I learn all the stuff, and at some point I was lifting triple body weight, and I noticed that, okay, I still had this perception of a weak person, and I was still perceiving myself as weak because there's been certain things in my life that I didn't seem ideal, and I was still beating the hell out of myself. And that for me was also like, damn, because this really shows it that no matter where you really get, and I feel like this goes with everyone, it goes with money, it goes with the money you live, with how you look, if like there's always something that you can find and be like, okay, this sucks, you know, and I'm just gonna And now my whole life is terrible because of that thing, which of course is all perception. And I feel it's really important because it's also my approach that you just bring those worlds together. And I feel like without doing so, it's going to be so difficult to really make changes and also make, especially making those changes happen, because again, without this sense of self-worth, you will just sabotage yourself sooner or later. And it's something which is really a lot of training to just learn how to manage it. So in my program, I show people how to manage emotions, because that's something we are not taught. And especially as men, we have like huge difficulties and all these insecurities. Like, for me, I'm, for example, like I'm physically not capable of crying anymore, for example, because I cried a lot in my childhood. And then I learned, okay, I'll just get beaten the crap out of myself if I cry a lot, you know? And so at some point you're like, okay, how do I manage this whole stuff? And I feel it's especially important when you're talking about dieting, when you're talking about exercise, because you are working on your body. It's not, I mean, if you have a shitty job, you're there for like 8 hours a day, right? But within your body, you're never gonna get rid of it in your life. You're always there. And if it's and if your connection to your body, if your perception of your body is always like this, okay, it's I just don't like to be here, it's just gonna be extremely hard, no matter how you look, no matter how strong you are, no matter how healthy you might be on a physical level. And that's why I think it's so crucial to really bring those worlds together.
Yeah, and I absolutely love that you help people with their emotional expression, because I think that is so common, is people stuff their emotions back down, especially guys, but I know women as well. Like, I grew up in the UK, so it was very much keep calm and carry on. Yeah. And you learn that from your culture, you learn that from your parents. It's a very widespread thing. And if you stuff those emotions down, like, you know, stuffing down a packet of biscuits, then that somehow is going to just, that's not going to feel good in your body, right? So eventually those emotions have to come out, but how do you really express that? So I really love how you're helping people, because that's something that we don't get taught in school, right? It's kind of the opposite. Like, when we're growing up, like, don't show too much emotion. Like, I think for women, a big one is we don't want to appear too emotional, because there's this stereotype of being too much, you know, being too emotional, being too big in terms of size, expressing ourselves too much. So I think that is something that is really valuable, for sure. And I think once we get out of this place of trying to fix ourselves, I think there's this kind of notion of, you know, we are somehow broken and we need to fix this. Once we kind of get out of that, that's the kind of gateway to the freedom that we talk about. So I'm not saying go it alone, because as you mentioned, we had coaches along the way, we had experts along the way helping us through. So it's really important, but we don't want to get stuck in a place where we need people for the rest of our lives because we think that we're broken. We need the next thing. We need the next thing. We need the next thing, because something is still missing. And I think that's a challenge too, because as you so beautifully said, is that we live in our bodies forever. Like, our relationship with our body is the longest relationship that we have, and the most important. But if something comes along, like, I don't know, a new diet, or, you know, a new job that triggers sort of those old feelings of I'm not good enough, I need to fix myself, it's really a case of stepping back and going, is this really true? And implementing tools to kind of help us through that, so that we go, no, my body is enough. I am enough. I am capable. I'm not broken. And I think that is really important too, to sort of break that mentality of I have to fix some aspect of me, because in reality, we're all human. We're not perfect. And I know perfectionism is something that you talk about a lot. There's that kind of shiny object syndrome, where we could kind of always sort of go, well, you know, I could get even more of this, or I could kind of, in this area, I'm good, but say, for example, my body is great, but my finances aren't great, so I need to go fix that, and I need to go fix that, and we're just constantly just sort of piling up all of these things throughout our life and not actually really enjoying living in our bodies.
Yeah, so, because I totally get you, because it's so funny, because the irony behind this is if you work from this place, I need to fix myself. Like, again, no matter what pieces you're adding, you're still working. You're still in the same frame that is actually causing you all of that. And it's, especially when you're talking about perfectionism, for me personally, it's always like this very thin line between excellence, between just doing the best, and just getting into this notion that, okay, I need to make everything perfect, otherwise X, Y, Z. And I feel like this is the main difference. It's the same with emotions, because it's, again, like as you said, like stuffing it down is not going to get you anywhere. And the same is, but on the other hand, if you're just getting carried away by every little thing, and you are just, getting a meltdown all the time, well, that's kind of expression also on service. It's really like, how can I use this emotion to my advantage? And it's, I feel like I just see it the same way as you, is once you get out of this frame that there's something that needs to be fixed, and so I look for people to fix me, and then I get pissed because this doesn't work and I blame those people. This was a hard one for me to really to take responsibility for that. But the great thing is that once you do it, once you really take this responsibility and be like, okay, I'm just this is just like all my own thing, and no one can fix me. That's usually when things start to change, and you get like this sense of inner peace together with your results, and you're not chasing all the time. And like, okay, I need to find this one missing piece, and then everything is going to be great. Because then, guess what? It's like the next piece.
Exactly, and I just love that. And inner peace is just such an amazing place to be in. And kind of you highlighted the beauty of that kind of Goldilocks zone when you talked about the emotions, and kind of like you don't want to stuff them down, but you also don't want to kind of like be kind of curled up in a ball crying all of the time. So getting into that Goldilocks zone, getting into that unconditional love, achieves that inner peace, achieves that freedom. And I think that's what we all want, right? From life, is just to have fun, enjoy, be in the moment, you know, have that balance. So yeah, I think that was a really great example.
And I also think that this is the main thing on why diets work for some and why it's so damn hard for others to be consistent. Because if I do it out of the intention to really fix myself, and then there's something wrong with me and I need to get rid of that by just eating, not eating anymore, by training all the time, and or by doing whatever, it's not gonna last. And when you see it as, okay, just I just want that because I know it's going to contribute to my life, and it's something that I just do as it's because it's my goal, and that's in my interpretation when it gets so much easier, because at this point for me, for example, I do count my calories, I do count my protein. It doesn't bother me, right? It's just it's not in a way where I would say, okay, this is just really taking away from my life. And it's also done in a way where I'm like, okay, I can basically eat whatever I want. And even if I say like, okay, just I choose to not eat this anymore, or I don't choose to not eat that, it's not something where I feel like, okay, that's something terrible. Compared if I would be like, okay, I have to stop eating this because otherwise I will, whatever. You get the point.
Yeah, no, I gotcha. It's like, it's the energy behind it. It's the energy and the intent behind it. Is it kind of, what is it costing you? Is it costing you your inner peace? Is it, taking away from your life, as you say, or is it because I just like it? I just love it, right?
Yeah, like I have two clients. They track their macros for over 2 years now, and they are like really damn on point every time. And it's okay for them. It works perfectly for them. It's not something that they're like, okay, this really ruins my life. Of course, sometimes they're like, oh, okay, I gotta eat another 100 grams of carbs to get it in and everything because I want to build muscle or something. Yeah, but it's part of the game to some degree, in my interpretation at least. But it's not in a way that the whole thing is really taking away from your life. And again, if, as you said, if the benefit is greater than your cost and it's really clear for you, then it's gonna be a lot easier.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love that so much.
All right. I think this is a great point to wrap this up. Thank you so much for being here. I think it was a really, really great episode on how diets work for some while they don't work for others. So again, it's not the diet that's the problem. It's the intention and the energy behind why you're doing it. And I think that this is going to be a huge shift in perception on how you approach your training, your eating, whatever. And it's going to be extremely helpful for many because it's just such a big thing many people struggle with. All right, Lizzie, where can people find you?
Okay, well, I would invite you to join my private Facebook community. It's called Your Cheer Squad. I will send the link to Manuel. He is part of my cheer squad. so that you can join. It's, as I say, it's complimentary. It has tons of advice on nutrition, movement, and mindset, and has lovely coaches like Manuel as part of our community. And I really believe that having a cheer squad is another important aspect to getting to where you want to be and achieving love for your body. So that's there. And actually next week on, I believe it's March the 23rd at 1 p.m. PST, I'm hosting a masterclass on how to get the body that you love without dieting. So if you want to join, then just join the private Facebook community, Your Cheer Squad, and it will be there in the community. You don't have to sign up for anything else. So I will see you then. And there will be some kind of exciting announcements in the next couple of weeks. And Manuel will be sharing that with you too. So in the meantime, I'll see you in the community. And I really appreciate you, Manuel, for having me today. I love how passionate you are about this and how we kind of agree on the fact that yes, dieting can fundamentally, it can work, but for some people it can be a little bit more challenging than others. So how do we kind of get through that hurdle so that we can just enjoy our bodies. So thank you so much for having me and everything that you do.
Yeah, thank you for taking time. And we will link everything in the description of the podcast episode. Also, thank you for listening to this podcast. If you liked it, then subscribe to the podcast, share it with your friends so that they can benefit from it as well. And I'm going to see you in the next episode. Bye-bye.